Amen. Have you got your Bibles? All right. The Holy Spirit is here to do something in your life today. Your hearts is gonna, your hearts are gonna be transformed today. I have not moved from my the place that I have been. Like I said this morning, and I have not moved from the word that has been keeping me in that place. And I know that God is doing something in that word. So I am. My title today is "Time for a Mindset Change, Part 2." You think you've escaped? You haven't. It's Part 2. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, it's an amazing time sharing and doing things that we've never actually done. I mean, in my own personal life, God is taking me to a place where I have never been before, and I can sense it in my spirit. And I know that I don't want to go to that place and not take you there. That's why I'm passionate about what is happening around us, and not just in this church, but around us in the world. Let's look to the signs that are happening and understand where God is taking us to and what God is doing in our hearts. Last week I shared on the word in Isaiah 66, and it's still been sitting inside my heart. It's the most powerful word that Isaiah saw something, and he said, "Who has ever seen such a thing?" He says, "There's nobody. None of us have seen anything like that ever before. God is bypassing all the natural things that you understand about church and all the natural things you understand about your Christian life, the things that has ever happened in your life before in your other whatever church that you come from. God is going to bypass all that and show you something that you've never seen before." Isaiah saw it, and he said, "Who has ever seen such a thing?" Hallelujah. Can a baby be born, or a nation be born in one day? He was talking about that revival. And last week, I'm just touching back on that just to introduce the message this morning, is that the revival is in your heart. Everybody's searching for revival. But he's already poured, the Bible says, he's already poured his spirit upon what? All flesh. You are walking around carrying the Holy Spirit inside your life. You don't understand the power that you actually carry inside of you. Holy Spirit is the source of everything. Everything that about the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is. And so the revival doesn't start when you're looking for it. The manifestation of it, you will see with your physical eyes. But the spiritual side of it happens inside your heart. If your heart is starting to change, if your speech or things that you're doing is starting to change, revival is happening inside your heart, my friends. And it doesn't happen just because you are a nice person. It happens when your heart is ready. When your spirit and your soul and your body come in alignment with the Word of God, then revival starts to happen inside your heart. Some of you want to see revival, but your spirit is not in the right place, and your soul is in a different place, and your body is in a different place. When everything, one thing I know about God is when you align everything, your body, soul, and spirit, you are a Trinity walking around. So it's not hard to understand who God is. God is what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's Trinity. You are the picture of the Trinity. You've got a spirit, a soul, and a body. Amen. And when all that is in line with the Word of God and what God is doing, then you will start to see revival. And then you will start to see prophecies come to pass. Hallelujah. You're running after prophecy and your life is not right. You're running after revival and your heart is not right. God says in Isaiah, "I am looking." It's those that have a contrite spirit and a fearful of my word, he says. Fearful is a godly respect of God's word. That's really what it is. It's not fearing God like he's going to shine down some fire and burn you to pieces. It's just the reverence to who Father God is. When you have the fear of God, you've become the son or a daughter to God. You have a place where you can call him Abba, Father. And that's really what it is. And so I haven't gone away from that. I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm just wondering, for the next 3 months, start to expect healing taking place in the church. Start to come to church. And I said to the music team, this is not just a normal Sunday service. I want you to come here expecting God to move. When your faith is released inside your spirit. When everybody comes together with this one faith, one mind, one soul, what the book of Acts says, when they were all in what? Unity. Is it unity in the spirit of the heart? And then God pours out the blessing. God releases the anointing in the spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Come expecting that every Sunday. This is not just we're going to go to church. No, come expecting God to move and seeing some miracles happening in people's lives. You carry the Holy Spirit. You don't wait for the pastor to pray. Pray for somebody that's right next to you. Do you need some prayer? Let's pray. Hallelujah. And I want to say this morning, introducing my message, is this. You cannot meet the creator of the universe and still remain the same. It is impossible for you to meet the creator of the universe and remain the same. It is impossible. Hallelujah. I have not seen anybody that's truly met the creator, truly met Jesus, and still remain the same. I've met people who claim to have met Jesus, claim to have Jesus in their life, claim to believe in God, but still living in sin. These are not people that have met God. If you meet God, hallelujah, you will not be the same, my friends. Hallelujah. If God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, comes to dwell within your soul, you would expect what? Major disruptions. There's going to be some things happening inside your life that you've never had before. Hallelujah. I feel like I've just been reborn again. I feel like my spirit has been just rejuvenated and released again. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm just in love with Jesus again. It's that first love that I'm feeling right now. Hallelujah. That's revival, my friends. When you feel that's revival. Hallelujah. I think there is a problem when people talk about meeting God or knowing God and still remain unchanged. Hello, somebody. If you come to me and say, I am a Christian, and you're living in sin, you have not met God, my friend. You have not truly understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was taught to you wrong. Maybe you come from a place where they've been teaching you some wrong doctrines of how to do it. But the kingdom of God is straight, straight. There's no hidden agendas about the kingdom of God. There's no ulterior motives about God. When you meet God, you meet God. That's it. Hallelujah. Amen. When the Creator chooses to live within you, you are no longer suited for normal life, normal according to you. Your normal life, when the Creator comes to live inside of you, you are not normal, my friends. Amen. You are not suited for the normal life you think you are living. Hallelujah. You are not. You are abnormal, different. Totally different. A different creature, the Bible says. Hallelujah. You are a what? A new creation. A new creature. People look at you and go, whoa, what, who is that? I can't recognize that person anymore. Why? Because I can only see Jesus. When people see you, they're going to be confused. Is that God? Or Donna? Is it Jesus or Mama Evelyn? Is it Jesus or Mama Alice? That's the kind of testimony that people should see in your life. Hallelujah. In the day of Pentecost, God unleashed His Spirit upon all who would declare Jesus is their hope. In that moment, a new tribe was born. Hallelujah. The tribe of Jesus was born. God made a promise to His prophet in Jeremiah. And He said in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 to 34, this is God speaking. He says, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write in their hearts. When the Spirit comes to live inside of you, my friends, you start to bear evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He says, I will write everything inside their minds and in their hearts. No more you're going to be carrying tablets of stone walking around. The Spirit of God is inside of you. And everything God wants for you is written where? Inside your heart and inside your mind. Hallelujah. That's the new kind of breed of people that God is looking for right now. God made a promise. He says, I will make this covenant with the people of Israel after that. And He declares that I will what? Write my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. To all who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord declares, I will be with their God, and they will be my people. Amen. He says, when the people carry my spirit and walk around looking and thinking and doing things like me, then I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. There's a covenant right there. And it says in 34, no longer will they teach the neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. People don't have to, you don't have to preach to nobody, he says. You just walk and they know the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to go and say, know the Lord. Push people to, oh, you know what the Bible says? And Bible bless him on the head and trying to change them. You carry a spirit inside of you. And when you speak, and I'm starting to know these things like that, that's why you got to be careful with what you say. Use your mouth or your tongue to bless people. Bible says, bless those who what? Do things that curse you. Why? Because your battle, the person who is fighting your battle, lives inside of you. Don't sin against somebody by saying things against them. Let the Holy Spirit do it, because he's the one that they're coming against. When people talk to you and say bad things about you, Jesus said, bless them. Why? Because your life depends on it. You got to bless them. When they say wrong things against you, pray for them, he says. Hallelujah. What a concept, huh? He's saying, don't do that or you'll sin or you become like them. He said, I am the one fighting the battle for you. The battle is mine, says the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will do all these things. You just bless them. And you walk around like that. People will come to you and say, man, there's another church there. They just bless you. Even I swore at them, they blessed me. And people will go, I like that church. I want to go there. Because there's something about these people that is different. Hallelujah. To all who believe, he says, no longer will they teach the neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What a concept. What an amazing tribe of people sitting right here carrying that spirit. God's forgiven your sin. God's forgotten everything about your past. And he said, I am your God and you are my people. Hallelujah. There is something happening in the church and I sense it in my spirit. There is an evidence of transformation happening. It's only the start and I know it's going to just winding up and winding up. I'm only winding up right now. This is what the kids are seeing is getting me excited. I said, God, it's happening again. Hallelujah. You're doing it again. He hasn't stopped doing it. He's been doing the Holy Spirit has been hovering over there, looking for the people who are contrite spirit and heart of humility, ready for him to move. We've always been here. But he's waiting. And he's not just waiting in church. He's waiting over the Muslim church or the Muslim mosque. He's waiting over the Buddhist temple. He's waiting for somebody who says, God. And then he moves. Bible says, I will pour my spirit on what? All flesh. Not all Christians. All flesh. That means everybody. That spirit of the living God belongs to everybody. Belongs to the Buddhist, belongs to the atheist, belongs to those who don't believe in God, belongs to all these egotistic people. It belongs to everybody. But he's waiting. Hallelujah. God unleashed his spirit again, and he's looking for those who are what? Humble. I love this word. Contrite in spirit. Who trembles at his word. A healthy fear of the word of God. That's what it is. Healthy fear. Fearful of God. Bible says the fear of God brings in what? Wisdom. When you start to fear God, wisdom comes in. The decisions that you make is so nice. It's so perfect. Why? Because you fear God and you go by his word. And everything in your life becomes what? Perfect. Why? Because you start to apply wisdom. When you fear something, fearing God is a concept here. We're called to fear God. Why? There's an important principle to this. What we fear is what we are subject to, right? In other words, our fear defines our master. Whatever you fear becomes your master. It controls you. Are you with me? When you fear something, that very source of fear becomes your master. It starts to control you. It controls you. It stops you from unleashing the potential inside of you. But where there is no fear, there is no control. Hallelujah. When we fear God, that's why God says, fear him. When we fear God and God only, we no longer bound by the other fears that holds us in the dark. Hallelujah. Fear of death, gone. Fear of rejection, gone. Amen. Fear of what people will think about you, gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Fear of losing your job, gone. Fear of them kicking you out of your house because you didn't pay rent, gone. Hallelujah. I'm touching some things here. That's real stuff we're talking about. Hallelujah. Fear of losing your job, gone. Hallelujah. When you start to fear God. Because you fear a source that is so powerful than everything else around you. And that very source provides for you. Oh, hallelujah. All of these fears that know us by name and haunt us become powerless. And when we know the fear of God, everything starts to happen the way God wants it to be. Hallelujah. Jesus expected those who are his followers would hear his voice, know his voice, and follow his voice. There's a lot of voices going on around you. There's a lot of voices. I was sharing with the man yesterday, and when Jesus was a little boy running around in Palestine, in his day when he was a young boy, there was a lot of Jesus. Joshua's, Yeshua's, there were a lot of them. It's a very popular name. It's like Smith. But there's only one Jesus. That's why John was surprised, because John was his cousin. And John was playing around with him. They shared toys together and played in they went to the same kindy together. They shared their lunch together. And then when Jesus became who he is, John said, "Wow, I did not know that you were Christ. I thought you were my cousin." But there's something inside of you. That's what people should be saying about you. People say, "Wow, I thought you were just Alan." But man, there's something inside of you that, what is it? Jesus is the only Jesus that you and I are worshiping today. Hallelujah. Jesus expects those who what? Follow his voice, who hear his voice and understands his voice. My friends, this is not time to be playing church or playing Christian life or playing Christian walk. No, no, it's time to transform your mindset. Time to say, "God, I am ready." I said to the guys, be careful what you wish for. Don't say, "God, use me," arrogantly, because he will. And if you prepare your heart and you say, "God, use me," he will use you. He will prepare a way to be able to use you. All of you sitting in this room today have a purpose for God to be used. You may say, "Oh, I'm just a mother coming here to live and putting my kids at school." No. God has a plan and a purpose for you. "I'm just here because I just want a good church." No. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And when you start to walk in that place where God can deal with your heart, I said, if you move your place, move yourself to a place where God can actually reach you, then he will start to use you. That's really, everything boils down to us calling out to Jesus and saying, "God, I'm ready. I'm ready to be used." God informed us that he has a strategy for reestablishing his kingdom and his reputation among the nations. Another prophet saw it, and he spoke through a prophet called Ezekiel. 36, verse 22 to 23, powerful words. He says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake," I like that. "It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things. But what? For my own holy name, which you have what? Profaned among the nations where you have gone." The word profane means to disrespect or defile. He says, "I am not doing this for your sake," he says. "It is because of my holy name that I have to do this. I'm pouring my spirit over you, not because it's for you, it's for me. I need you to represent me properly. I need you to stop defiling my name and stop profaning my name. I need you to stop saying you're a Christian and live like a devil after you walk out of this church on Sunday." That's what God is saying. I am tired of people saying, "I am Christian," and live like the devil. He says, "I am going to do a new thing." Hallelujah. "I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And he said, "I'm not doing this because of your sake." I said, "I'm doing this because my holy name has been profaned by nations and by people." Hallelujah. He said, "which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone." And verse 23 says, "I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been what? Disrespected, if I can use the word, amongst the nations. And the name you have what? Disrespected among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I'm proved holy through you before what? There are through who? Not the pastor, not the evangelist, through you," he says. I will prove through you in their eyes that I am God. You are supposed to be representing God. He says, everything that you see, the fire, the healing, the restoration, everything is going to happen where? Through you, he says. Not just the pastor or the evangelist or the church worker. Every mother and children, every man and his dog will do everything that God wants him to do so that God, his holy name, can become good again. Amen. He's doing it through you. And he's not doing it for your sake. It's for his sake that his name be holy again. His name be respected again. His name, when they call upon his name, they know there's power inside that name. Hallelujah. He says, I will do it what? True, you turn around to your neighbor and says, God is about to change everything through me. Come on, come on, touch your neighbor, tap him on the shoulder, says, God wants to prove his holiness through me. God wants to prove his holiness through me. I am the one that God's going to prove his holiness through. Hallelujah. What a responsibility we have. To really prove God's holiness to the people, to the world. Hallelujah. Get ready for this, my friends. It's going to transform you. God made a declaration that he will prove he is God and he is holy, not through his actions, but the actions of his people. Hallelujah. He says, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign God, and when I'm proved holy through you before their eyes, he says. Who? Hallelujah. People must see you and say, there truly is a God. When I got saved, I want to tell my story. You don't want to know me when I wasn't saved. I was a shady character. Shadier than most of you sitting here today. When I got saved, this is what my friends say. If Ben is saved and if he's a Christian, then truly, they say, there is a God. Would you imagine that? That's what God is saying right there. He says, I'm going to prove my holiness through you. When I got saved, they said, Ben, got saved? Are you sure you got the right Ben? It was like that. There was like, who, that same guy that went to play with Yothu Yindi, the drummer for Yothu Yindi, he's saved? Like he's a Christian? My friend is my good friend. Is a keyboard player with the band. He couldn't handle it. It was too much for him, because we smoked marijuana together, we drink beer together, we did everything together. And so when I got saved, he said, "If Ben gets saved, then truly there's a God." He said, "Oh, hallelujah!" His wife said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. He said, no, I don't want to listen to Jesus from you. I don't want to listen to Jesus from your church. I don't want to listen to Jesus from your pastor. He said, I want to get it from Ben, because I know him. Amen. He'll tell me who this Jesus is talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I witnessed to him. Amen. And I witnessed to him in Hilton Hotel, and he wept through the whole night. He said, my goodness. And to this day, he didn't know what to do when he was around me. I said, mate, I'm still the same guy. I haven't changed. I haven't turned into an angel. Same guy. But inside of me, whoa, there's a fire inside of me. There's a revival happening inside of me. When I spoke, all I could speak about was the Bible. They took me to I went to do a radio interview, and they want to talk about Yothu Yindi and the music and the tours and all this rock star stuff. And as soon as God gave me a little space, I went in with the gospel on radio. And I took the announcer with me. He didn't realize that he was now interviewing me about God. First he was like, how's the band? Now he's like, oh, wow, you're saved. If you carry the Holy Spirit inside of you, my friend, you don't realize the power that you carry. Amen. Start to manifest the power. Amen. Start to get it to work for you. Start to rely on the Holy Spirit. Stop getting your advice from people. Stop talking to counselors. Stop talking to marriage counselors. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. Jesus said, do not go and do anything until I send the helper. He is the teacher. I have never, never, never sat down and talked to a pastor about my relationship and marriage. I don't know anything about that. I know the Holy Spirit. Because when I got saved, something left and something came in. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a transformation happening inside of my spirit. I was hungry for this man, this person called the Holy Spirit. I said, I need to know about him more. And that's why I'm talking about him this morning. Hallelujah. God declares again. He says, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will leave and the land I gave you and your ancestors, and you will be my people and I will be your God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's the God that you and I are serving today, my friends. That's the God that wants the revival inside of you to start firing up. Amen. He's not going to do it through the pastor. He's going to do it through you. Little old you, insignificant old you, is going to do it through you. Hallelujah. Man in the Bible that you've read, people that are so insignificant in life, God says, perfect candidate. I will use you. Why? Because their hearts was ready. Amen. That's all. The qualification for having revival is your heart. Yeah. When it's ready, you are qualified. Yeah. Hallelujah. Friends, let me tell you this. If the Spirit lives inside of you, you become in sync with the story of God and out of sync with every other story that's trying to come against the story of God. Out of sync with life. So-called lifestyle that we call, that we live inside. Jesus came to earth and he made his first public statement. And I like to go back all the time because I keep going back to this verse because you cannot improve on truth. Truth is truth. You cannot change it. You cannot bath it. You cannot put clothes on it. You cannot clean it. You cannot move it from any position. Wherever you move it, it's still truth. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible doesn't move. The Word of God doesn't change for nobody. You change, but the Word doesn't. It stays. Hallelujah. Jesus came to earth and he made his first public statement, and it's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. I love that. Jesus had just come out of the wilderness, and the Bible says he was what? Full of the Holy Spirit. And from the time forward, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived on earth. Jesus did not announce an entrance of a religion, he announced an entrance of a kingdom, he says. Amen. Repent. Amen. Start to think differently in the kingdom that I am in. He said, I am here, the kingdom has arrived. Now start to think differently. Repent is that. If you study the word repent in Greek, it means just mindset change. Change your mind. Not a little, I am sorry, crocodile tears coming up here. Amen. And then backslide. Bible says God loves the backslider. You are supposed to accidentally slide into sin. Can I just bring that to? Some people plan their sin. They plan it. They plan everything, and then they go and sin. And then they come back on Sunday and say, pray for me. Pray for what? God says, I am in love with the backslider. That means you got to be accidentally sinning. You don't moonwalk back into sin. Hallelujah. That's free. How did that come? How did that come about? You don't plan to go to sin. Backslide means you accidentally fall into sin. And God says he'll lift you back up. Not those who plan it. You don't just turn around and march straight back into sin. Accidentally slip. And God says, sorry, son, get up here. Sorry, daughter, get up. You've just backslidden, but that's fine. If you start to moonwalk into sin, there's a problem there. Hallelujah. How did I go there? Amen. I'm serious, church. This is good stuff for us. I'm not here to tickle your ears, preach some nice message for you. Oh, I had a good Sunday and go and sin. No, no, no. We are not going to live like that anymore. The kingdom of God says transform your mindset. Time for a mindset change. That's the title of the word today. Oh, Jesus, thank you. What is a kingdom? Jesus arrived and he says, the kingdom of God has arrived. It is the governing authority and the influence of a king over his territory or domain, and he impacts it with his will, his purpose, and his intentions. That's why you and I are here. to impact His kingdom with His will, is everything that He wants for us to do. His will, everything has to be done here according to what He wants, His mindset. That's why He said, I will become holy again or prove my holiness through the very people that are sitting inside this room. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Adam committed high treason, gave it to the devil. The devil took everything. Jesus came back. This is a quick story of redemption. Jesus was called the second or the last Adam. Why? Because he was in that form that Adam was created. And he came back to take back everything that the enemy took from you. The counterfeit ruler you call Satan. I call him the unemployed cherub. He was kicked out of heaven, no job, floating around here, telling you that he owns everything. Yet you are supposed to be the dominator. You are supposed to have dominion over everything. Every plant, every seed, every living thing, everything. God says, have dominion, rule over it. Hallelujah. The Bible calls Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the last Adam. Why? Because he was the man coming again in the original form. That is why his announcement is very important. He says, repent. Transform your mindset. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the prophets prophesied the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Jesus said, wait until you have received the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. Adam lost the Holy Spirit. Jesus brought back the Holy Spirit. He retained the promise of the Father upon us today. I am talking about the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we listen to people more than we listen to the Holy Spirit. Stop listening to people. Stop listening to other people with their own preconceived ideas about God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Go to your word and read your word and pray and say, God, teach me, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I don't care where you've come from. He will still transform your mindset when you open your hearts and get ready for it. The worst sinners, the worst people that have gone beyond reach have turned around and come back to God. Why? Because God has already purposed them. God has a plan and purpose. You listen to me. The devil has no hold on your life. He's got no control over you unless you give him the room to do so. Between sin and righteousness, there's a will that you choose. And you've still got the power to choose. Hallelujah. Jesus does not forgive people. The Father forgives people. Can I say that again? Jesus does not forgive people. The Father in heaven forgives people. Read your Bible. He kept saying, if you do not forgive those who offend you, the Father in heaven will not forgive you. If you do not forgive those who do wrong against you, the Father in heaven cannot forgive you. He gave you the keys. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Heaven will release anything you release here. If you carry all these offense in your heart, you're offended and you're angry and you walk in all that place, heaven locks it up for you. Jesus said, until you release it, then I will release it. So the power is in your hands. The keys of the authority is already in your hands. So Jesus doesn't forgive you. The Father does. Hallelujah. If you do not forgive those who persecute you, the Father will not forgive you. The Father is the one who forgives you. If He doesn't forgive you, then we are all in trouble. All of us in trouble, because if the Father doesn't forgive us. So what you want is the Father to forgive you. So Jesus said, the only way for the Father to forgive you is when I bring you to the Father. I was sharing that with Alan yesterday. You have all the power to make your choices today. But you cannot go to the Father. Jesus said, I need to illustrate that. Can I have three people? Maybe I'll do it in picture. Okay. I need a man. Come on. All the women are taking over this church. There we go. As Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father does not forgive you. And that you cannot go to the Father except through Jesus. And Jesus then said, but you cannot come to Him unless the Spirit brings you to Him. And so when Jesus said that the unforgivable, unpardonable sin is against the Holy Spirit, if you sin against Jesus, you're okay. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, then it's hard to come to the Father. It's hard to be forgiven. That's how you see. You may be taught about this wrong, but this is how it is. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the truth, the way and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. But then he says, but except a man is born in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Except a man be born in the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't bring you to the Father, then you are not forgiven. So Jesus comes here and takes you. The Holy Spirit takes you, brings you to Jesus. Jesus takes you and takes you to the Father. Hallelujah. This is redemption, my friends, we're talking about. And this is the Holy Spirit. And He brings you to the Father, and the Father forgives you. Why? Because Jesus said, I've already cleansed that one. You can forgive that one. Hallelujah. That's why when you hear, the Bible says, when you hear Him taking at your heart, the Holy Spirit, do not sit in your chair and say it's not the Holy Spirit. He has been talking to you for the last 10 months, and you are still sitting inside this room not wanting to come up to Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot go to the Father except the Spirit brings you through Jesus, through the Father. That's the process of redemption. Hallelujah. The Father is the one who forgives you. And the Father will not forgive you. Why? Because I tell the Father, I died for this one, and then He can forgive you. Hallelujah. But He says, we must not listen to the quiet of the voice of the Holy Spirit and still sit there. I'm talking to somebody today. You cannot walk around in sin and still expect something to change in your life when you don't make the decision today. To get to the Father, you've got to get to Jesus. To get to Jesus, you've got to go through the Holy Spirit. And He's here today talking to you this morning. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. I'm the Prime Minister. You go through the Holy Spirit. I'm the President of the United States. You go to that Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm a businessman. I got all that. You go through the Holy Spirit. And He will bring you to Jesus. And then Jesus will bring you to the Father. That's the process. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. The Holy Spirit is the one that you must go to. If He is not tagging inside your heart, and the worst thing is this, if you stop hearing Him, and if you stop feeling Him convicting you, then you are in a place they call apostate. And the Bible says, and God gave him over to the Satan to live the sinful lives. I'm talking some serious stuff here today. I'm talking about heart changing. I'm talking about walking in the place where God can start to use us. I'm talking about stop backsliding into sin and start walking in the power that God has already given you. Hallelujah. Oh, I gave Jesus 5,000 can. I don't care. Go to the Holy Spirit. He'll clean up your money and then you can come to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you sin against this guy, the Holy Spirit, He can't get you to me. I died for you. I can clean you up. But you got to come through Him. He's the one that will take you to me. No man can come to the Father except through Christ. But except the Spirit of God lives him, we cannot. And so the Holy Spirit, when the Pharisees said to the Holy Spirit, they said, it is through Beelzebub, or you're doing all these miracles in the power of the devil. They called the Holy Spirit the devil. That's the unpardonable sin that he was talking about. Because when they call him a demon, then he can't take them to the Father. That's what unforgiveness is. So you call me a demon, so I can't take you. Because the Father is gracious. But once you start to offend the Holy Spirit, then something happens. It's hard to get to the Father. It's hard to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says, if you hear his voice tonight, do not harden your hearts. If you feel his conviction, don't sit at the chair. Go home with your sin and rebellion. If you hear him saying, fix your life this morning, fix it. Put your hands up and God, I'm sorry. Walk up to the front and give your heart to Jesus. Or whether people are going, I don't care what people say. Your life and eternity is a big and long time. That's the most important thing. First, get it right first. And then God will start to use you inside the kingdom. Hallelujah. John chapter 15 verse 3. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I have what? Spoken to you. When you hear the word this morning, deal with your sin today. Deal with it. Deal with it. Whatever it is, deal with it. You don't ever want the Holy Spirit to stop convicting you. That's a dangerous place. When you stop feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you are in a dangerous place, my friends. Very important. I am telling you. If you turn your back on God so much, then God will turn his back on you. And that is when the Bible says God gave him over to what? To Satan. You don't want to be found in that place, my friends. So listen to the Holy Spirit when he's convicting you. Be easy to have a heart that is soft and pliable for God to work through. And he will do it. He will do it. That is what Jesus called the unpardonable sin, my friends. It's a dangerous place to be. He says, except you be born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, from this time forward, repent your attitude towards the Holy Spirit and start to have a mindset change, thinking differently. Go to him. You don't even have to come to the pastor. Say, God, I'm sorry. In your room, wherever you're sitting, I'm sorry. Amen. And he forgives you. Boom. Amen. And you're ready to move again. That's the grace of God that we're living in. Hallelujah. But don't keep going back to that place. Don't keep saying, oh, I'm fine, I'm okay. You're not. If there's something wrong inside your life, deal with it. I keep saying, God, whatever that is inside my heart, if I'm wrong, forgive me. If I've said something, forgive me. I want my heart to be clean so that you can move in it without any obstruction. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is in love with the backslider. I said that already. There are some Christians born again, going to heaven, but Satan is whooping them all the way. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why we're teaching the kingdom. That's why we're talking about how to live and function inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I want to close by giving you a few scriptures here. You know, some of you are carrying wells inside of you. But God wants a river coming out of that well. There's a well bubbling inside of you. But he wants that river. River comes from wells. And he wants that out. There's a Holy Spirit living inside of you that we haven't actually tapped into yet. We haven't actually spoken to you. We haven't had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Today, it's going to change. Amen. Let's start having relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, I know you are saved. I know you've already saved, but he says, but don't do anything until the power comes from above, he says. Don't go and do anything. I've breathed into you. But he says, you need the river. You need that fire inside of you so that you can start to operate. John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus made a statement. He said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have what? Authority to lay down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is really powerful statement. That's why Jesus wasn't worried about people trying to kill him. He was standing before Pilate and he said, Pilate, please get the job done, please. Do it quickly because I got work to do. He says, nobody can take my own life. You cannot kill me unless it has been given to you by my Father. He says, this command I received from my Father. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice while he was on the cross. And he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said that, he breathed his last breath and died. In other translations, it said he expired. The spirit came out of him. Hallelujah. In the translation, it says, he expired or gave up his spirit. No man killed Jesus, my friends. He said, I lay my life down and I pick it up again in my own accord, he says. According to my Father's command upon me. No man took my life. Oh, you got to understand that, how powerful this is. He hangs on the cross. All the power in one body. All the power in one body. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled to the brim. All power in one body. He's hanging on that cross and all the blood was pouring out of him. Coming out of his head, from the crown of thorns, coming out of the side of his side, from the spear wound, coming out of his hands and his knees, coming, dripping down on that cross, onto the ground. He's laying, hanging on the cross with all that power inside of him. And then he said, it is finished. He was talking to the Holy Spirit while the blood was dripping down, cleansing your sins. Redemption was taking place from the flowing of the blood on the cross. Everything was drained out of him. And when the blood was already out of him, nothing left inside his body, he said, it is finished. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I've done the job. He says, now they are clean, Holy Spirit. You can leave me now and go inside of each and every one of them. So no more will I be carrying the one power, but everyone, there'll be power over everybody inside the world today. Every one of you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you. Romans 8:11. Oh, I got to say it again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of us bodily. And for that same Spirit will give us what? Life. Oh, hallelujah. Life abundantly. My friends, the Holy Spirit is here. He's your friend. He's your teacher. He's the one that we've put out of church and forgot all about him and brought all our little rules and all our little doctrines and all our little, whatever you want to call it, religion. And he's left outside. Today is going to be a different day. It's already happening. It's already happening inside your life. While I'm speaking right now, he's moving inside your heart today. He said, it is finished. He said, now you can leave. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he went, and he released the Holy Spirit out of him. All that power he was carrying. And then he said, wait until I send the helper. Oh. And he came. And he came upon each and every person in that place on the day of Pentecost. You are a vessel that's carrying that power right now. Start to train yourself to talk to this person called the Holy Spirit. To operate with this person called the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit. And he's a person. Hallelujah. I am excited. He spoke to the Holy Spirit. He says, I've done it. Now you can go. You can go and do the work. You can go. I've cleansed them all. They've all been cleansed by my blood. My blood has been pouring all over them. It's already been done. Hallelujah. I want to read a scripture before I close. And I shared this with the music team. It's really powerful. And this is what's been happening. And I want us to be people that are not just looking at the physical things, but understanding what the spiritual things are happening around us. Hallelujah. You know, reaping the same results of what we sow can be some kind of a low expectation because you think it's just sowing money to reap something back. Yet we must never bypass the fact that every seed we sow, whether it's money, whether prayer, time, effort, support, anything we do in the natural for God takes on a new body in the spirit. Are you with me? It's not just money, my friends. We think that we're going to sow money and then we're going to reap money. No, everything, whatever you have done in the physical for God, expect to reap something back of in the spirit. It manifests itself in the spirit. Whether it's your time, whether it's making coffee, whether it's sharing it to people up there, whether it's praying for people, whether it's cleaning the church, doing the clothes, whatever it is, when you're sowing your time, when you're sowing yourself into it, expect it to happen. In the next 3 months, we're going to believe in that. Hallelujah. It takes on a new body or form when it is what? Harvested. When it comes back to you, it takes on a new form. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 to 44, let's read it together. It says, so it will be the resurrection. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown imperishable, it is raised, what? Imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is what? Raised in glory. It is what? Sown in weakness. It is what? Raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is what? Raised in a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, then there is a spiritual body. Whatever you are doing right now, my friends, expect something to happen. It comes in a different form back to you. Every seed you sow as a spiritual body. That means our expectations on the seeds we must sow must be changed from physical to supernatural. Start believing to receive something in supernatural from God. You are a spirit being sitting here with a spirit man living inside of you called the Holy Spirit. And he works in the supernatural. From the physical, he does everything in the supernatural. Last Sunday, kids are seeing angels in the church. There's gold coming from the aisleway all the way up to the pulpit. That's heaven manifesting itself from whatever we're sowing into the kingdom. Start to walk like that. We're not going to be just another group of people going to church anymore and sing good songs. We're going to come and expect God to move and transform people inside the place. Bring a friend. Bring someone on a wheelchair. Bring somebody that's sick and start to see the manifestation of the power of God happening inside our church today. We're not just a nice church. We're a church ready for God to do something. And for us to be like that, then our hearts have to be in one accord. Our hearts have to be contrite and soft and humble, ready for God to use. We must desire eternal results that will last a lifetime. So, for example, we sow a harvest and good health, protection 24/7 over our children. Future is guaranteed. Our investors are protected. We live in prosperous lives. I pray we change our expectations from now on and look at what God is going to bring to us in the supernatural. Oh, we serve a spirit God. But he says, worship me in truth and in spirit and see the kind of blessing that I'm going to release upon you. Supernatural things. Hallelujah. Are you tired of just coming to church and just being in church? Are you tired of problems that you're going through and all this devil kicking you around and everything? Come on, you carry the Spirit of God inside of you. Get up and say, I am tired of this. When you do that, God says, good, I've been waiting all this time to do something in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, can I get the Spirit, can I get the music team up here? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's worship him before we finish. Let's give him some time to operate. Let's give him some time to work in your hearts and your life today. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you're tired of backsliding and moonwalking back into sin, give your heart to Jesus today. This is no time for playing around. We're living in a time we call the end times. All the prophecies have been speaking. Prophets have been pointing the direction of the world and the earth to this time. Salvation is today. Salvation is not tomorrow's. Hallelujah. Make your mind up today. Say, God, I'm going to walk in a different place with you today. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of getting drunk. I'm tired of being a drunkard and an alcoholic and coming here and eating the food again, going back and living like the devil. I'm tired of this life. You, when you open your mouth and say that, God will move. God doesn't force you to go anything. The Holy Spirit, what? Draws you to Jesus. He doesn't push you. It draws you. But when you have the hearts to say, God, I am tired, he will do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we pray. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. God, I thank you that your word has gone forth. Your word, you said that your word will accomplish everything that it was set forth to do. It will not come back void. Papa, mi blessawe, that your word is now taking place. Your word is igniting the spirit of your people today. Thank you, God. Father, as we start to see the manifestation of what you've promised us, God, you've already sent the promise, the Holy Spirit, and he's living and dwelling inside of us today. Father, I pray that no more are we going to be people that are always backsliding into sin, but Lord, understanding that it's by grace that we were saved. And Father, we thank you that we will understand that His grace is not a license to go back to where we came from. Father, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, we give you this evening, this morning. I thank you that you move through your people's hearts today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.